woman at the well. Our series has been on making disciples. This woman at the well is a wonderful study and wonderful preaching and wonderful teaching on one of the longest conversations, if not the longest conversation. I believe it is the longest conversation that Jesus had with anybody at any time. This lost person, this person that nobody would talk to, this person that nobody would associate with, this person that nobody would even, a Jew would not even go into Samaria. Jesus takes the time. Jesus makes it his business. Before the foundations of the world, he said, it said over, I believe in verse 9 or 10, it said he had need. Verse 4, he said he had need to go to Samaria. It was already on the agenda. Somebody needs to know today that you're already on God's agenda.
Amen.
Something like, I want to God that you are already on his agenda. That's good news, amen?
Amen.
God is already working it out in the time frame that he has for you. A lot of times our time frames get extended because we won't soften our hearts. We get a little prideful. Some people want to get saved before they come hear the word. They say, when I get myself together, I'll come to church. That's not how it works. Our pride will get in the way. At the will. We'll listen to our friends who don't know anything about what you're going to do or how to fix it. And they certainly aren't the savior of the world. But we'll heed to that. Sometimes at the well, we'll even turn on Oprah and free and get some advice from her or Dr. Phil. Sometimes at the well, we'll look for that relief from the bottle or the candlestick. Can't take you. And Jesus had need to go through Samaria for this woman that no one would talk to, that the Jew wouldn't even go through Samaria. He went out of his way, and he was not there by happenstance. He was at the well when she showed up. God is so proud in front of us. It seems impossible. God is so far ahead of us. It's hard to wrap our minds around that we're already on the agenda. Because sometimes it gets a little messy, right? Sometimes it's tough out here, amen?
Amen.
It seems like sometimes no matter how hard we pray or what we do, that as soon as we turn the next station, there's the ugly again. The pressure is always seemingly on. If you really knew and understood what pressure does, you would say pressure does. Get out all the impurities. Get out all the stuff that used to be my stuff. Mm-hmm. That stuff won't come out of you unless you get some pressure on it. Yeah. You'll hold on to it. The woman at the well, she was holding on to her stuff. She was even trying to get theological. With the one who created the pressure in the diamonds and making the diamonds out of coal. You ever see that process? Go and study it sometime. Just break me over that coal piece of rock. can't see through it. You would never think that you were looking at a diamond. And over years, and he teaches us to be patient, because from that piece of stone that looks like you would just throw it away, nobody would want it unless you had an eye for a diamond in the rough.
Right.
That you were on the agenda. You wouldn't even know what you were growing up door. But Jesus had need to go to Samaria because the diamond was being pressed. The diamond was being made. That diamond, when it gets made, is thousands of years, centuries of time. That dark piece of stone that probably would have been thrown away if somebody was here. Look at that, over time and over pressure. And pressure and time and pressure and testing. Guess what? You had one on your bank account. Clear as a bell. The more clear, the more valuable. The more pressure. Oh God, help me, Lord. The more pressure, the more valuable. See, sometimes we'll run from the pressure. We'll avoid the pressure. And he's trying to get out the impurities. We're looking for this relief and that relief, and call your friend, and when we should be praying, when we should be fasting, when we should be looking up to the hills for which cometh our help. And you say, Lord, I don't know that I can take this pressure, but you think I can take this pressure, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So at the well, we found out some things. We found out that Jesus had to make contact with this woman and put the pressure on her. She had been in the furnace the whole time. She had five husbands, and she was living with one that wasn't even her husband. We're talking about in a society that's unheard of. That's still a pretty high number in this society, amen?
That's true.
I know we got a little liberal with things, but still, that's still kind of high. Amen. So he had to make contact with her, and he had to challenge her, amen? And he had to confront her thinking. And this is the thing that we have been preaching about. And he had to confront her and change her mind about what she thought she knew. But never once did he say, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. Woman, you're stupid. Where did you get that information? I ain't never heard of such foolishness. Not a word of that. He just, the gospel. The gospel. And so I've determined in my life, I'm not going to argue with you, but I will give you the gospel. I can't fix you, but I know the gospel of Jesus Christ can. You might look at me and might not call me no more, but if you show up in glory, amen.
That's right.
That pastor told me what that Jesus said. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Because Jesus is the center of my life. Jesus should be the center of your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we pick up this story. And I got to roll with it. Y'all ready? Mm-hmm. I didn't mean for it to be a part 13 or 14. So. If there is, we'll just come back and get it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we see here then into verse 27 that Jesus his disciples had gone to get some food, and they returned and they're surprised to find him talking to this woman. Over in verse 27. Amen. And it said, and upon this came his disciples, and they marveled. You know, it was a taboo to talk to somebody from Samaria. It was taboo to go through Samaria. Then he has the audacity to be sitting there talking to a woman at the well in Samaria, and he's a Jew. Whole lot of animosity that has been built up over years and thousands of years, and all of these things were not allowed, and here is Jesus saying, I'm breaking that taboo today. And he had the longest discourse of one of the, in the Bible with anyone, with this woman that nobody, even her people, have outcast her.
Right.
She's at the well all alone in the middle of the day when women go to the well to gather in groups and they get their little social thing out of the way. They would talk about, you know, what's going on in the family and how's your camel doing and how's your husband doing and is your pot okay and is taking place, what was on taking place. You know, they would get together and go to the well and talk. But here it is. This woman has been kicked out of this social setting. She's by herself.
That's right.
At the well. They didn't go to the well by themselves. She was on her own. And here is the Savior of the world saying, that's a diamond in the rough. She didn't put pressure in her life. That's the way if she sets the alpha giver. I'm putting pressure on her life. I'm going to confront her. I'm going to tell her that the one she's living with right now is not her
husband.
I ain't letting her go like that. We got to learn to speak the truth to our friends. You're not helping them. You're not loving them just because you won't tell them the truth. I don't think they want to hear it. They need to hear it in truth. And in love, with humbleness, Jesus didn't raise his voice to this woman. And she ended up finding out that he told her everything that she had ever done. The woman is convinced and converted between verse 26 and 27. I see that she's converted because something happened. She, her life turned around. She was never the same anymore. And I don't know if somebody in this room can remember when they first saw the light at the well. And Jesus fixed it. Jesus helped you. Jesus saw you. Jesus saved you. You felt that thing lift up off of you. And you just couldn't stop telling somebody about the joy and the peace and the love. That is the love of Christ.
Yes.
You do remember that.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Don't get quiet. I mean, do you remember the day?
Yes.
Well, if you don't remember the exact day, do you remember running out and somebody, I wish you would shut up, buddy.
Jesus.
Do you remember that? Now, this woman is converted because she left her old life. She put down her burden. She left what she came there to do. She left her water.
No.
I'm just trying to help somebody. Sometimes we accept the Lord, but we won't put down our water pots and turn our life around and run back and start doing what we're supposed to do. We keep on being busy about what we've been busy about before we saw.
Amen.
The light. The next thing you know, we're not telling nobody anything. We're too busy. I had three people call me all this morning and told me, they're too busy.
What?
At the well, there should be nothing in front of you.
Right.
This woman dropped everything. You see this woman? What do I say? And it says here in 28, the 28, the woman then left her
water pot and went away into the city and said to the men.
She had to go to the men. They all knew her.
Why?
The women wouldn't talk to her.
She didn't care. She had decided to follow Jesus. And she didn't even know who he really was yet. You're going to see that in a minute. And I got a real question coming up for you in a little bit. So she drops everything and she turns herself around and she runs back and she saw some women and she probably ran there and will talk to me anyway. And she said, but I gotta tell somebody. And you see here, and she sees a man. He says in 29, which told me with the things that all things that I ever did. This is not this the Christ. She's running and telling this message, and she says, "Is this the Christ? Isn't it? This is him. Can anybody really do this? Can anybody get down in my spirit and convict me and show me and turn me around and make me feel like I can be better, that I am a diamond in the rough, that I can do all things through Christ that strength, that I don't have to live that life anymore. I don't have to worry about what man can do unto me. I have a Savior now. I have somebody who believes in me. When it comes to the subject of change in our lives, this woman's life had been changed. We all feel the same as we feel about going to heaven. And we're all for it. Amen. Somebody say amen.
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 But we'd rather go through what we have to go through than do what we have to do to get there. The idea sounds good. Heaven sounds good. But when we get right down to it, we think we actually have to do something to get there. The question is, you have to drop your words. You have to change your life. You have to believe differently. You have to do differently. You can't keep being the same person that you were. God's going to help you. You can't overcome this by yourself. If you got that living water out of that well, when you drink it, when you take it in, that what does it say that regular water, but go with me a second, it says here. He says over in verse 12, I know I'm way back on you now. He said over in verse 12:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. You see, you know, there's the world's way of eating it up. There's the world's way of trying to fix it up. There's the world's way of trying to make it all right. And it doesn't satisfy. It cannot satisfy. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me, say amen.
Amen.
It will not satisfy. It's not made to satisfy you. There's a hole in your spiritual thirst that only gets filled up, that only gets satisfied, that only gets content, that only you now have joy and peace and love, long suffering and patience when you take up this living water.
Amen.
You get what he says? But whosoever in 14 drinketh of this water that Christ said, shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up. You get some of the spiritual water that you'll never thirst again. The Christian life, amen.
Amen.
Fundamentally is a changed life. If you claim to believe in Christ, but you are living just as you did before you believed in him, you need to examine yourself. And ask yourself, do I truly believe? Let me make it a little bit more plain. Did you drop your water pots? Help me, Jesus. Somebody needs you right now. Somebody believes in you, but they're still carrying around the water. Don't make me put no names on your water pots, because you know, I will do it. You know what they are. Did you put down your water pot? Or are you living just like you lived before you saw the light? And now you just want the benefits. Oh, Lord, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to lift you up. Because what happens, you hold on to the water pot and you want some of this, and next thing you know, you're serving two masters, and no person can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or love one and hate the other. But things are happening and you're being torn. And I guarantee you, the one that doesn't love you is trying to kill you.
Amen.
All at the same time, and ask any junkie that you happen to see, that crack pipe is saying, I'm your only friend. And it's killing you. They'll start talking to that thing like it loves to. That's an extreme example, right, Pastor?
Yeah.
It's no different, though. I'm not doing anything to anybody. It's true. Everybody's. Becoming a Christian requires turning from your sins and turning to God. It is called repentance. And here's the thing about repentance. Because God loves us, because no one can pluck us out of His hands, because, well, you know, we're getting stronger and stronger day by day. You keep on repenting. You don't repent just once. You keep on repenting. You ask, I didn't say you lose your salvation. You just keep asking God to help you turn from your wicked ways. You keep asking God to make you stronger, or to take that taste out of your mouth, or take these thoughts out of your mouth, or help you plant your feet in the ground and stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You just keep on repenting. Because one that says that they have no sin make him a liar. And the truth is not in him. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. I know it may have just offended you that I said it, but I wanted you to know where I found it. Trying to help you. Repentance, it defines a lifestyle of you now. It defines your lifestyle. God changes us radically, radically. Somebody say radically, right?
Radically.
That's not no little change. You drop your water pots. I know some people keep going back and looking to see if the water's in the pot. Some even carry the pot back where they had them at first. Stop it. Put them down. God has changed you radically now. Be radical with the change. Salvation, He came into your life. He helped you to turn from sin. He believes in you. But we have to decide to follow Jesus. He's changing you into His image. Real quick, can we do just a 5-minute Bible study?
Let's go.
2 Corinthians 2:3. And you can write these down in London. Go home and study them. The woman had something happen to her at the well. We're going to find out in a minute. Amen. And, but we got to read and move along. And I'm going to show you and teach you a couple things real quick. Amen. Amen. And the Word of God says here, But. We all with open faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are what?
Changed.
Are what?
Changed.
Are the same?
Changed.
Are changed unto the what?
Same image.
Same image of what? From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The image that you used to see in the mirror may look the same, but what you are now seeing is the Spirit and the image of the Lord. He's trying to take your life over so that he can save you, so that he has saved you. Now he wants to make you useful.
Amen.
But you have to drop the pot.
Amen.
Go over to now Ephesians 4. Write these down. Time is running short on you. Amen. So you can go home and study. And guess what you can also do? You can call me. I love to talk about this stuff. I love it. I love to help you with it. Amen. Now, we can talk about dropping the pots. Amen. Some people want to talk and want to call and they want to chit-chat. You know, I love to talk to men. I love to talk about grown-up men stuff.
Amen.
But I love to talk about the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 4. Amen. Look at verse 17. Lord, this is good stuff. 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk what?"
Not
you gotta drop the water pot, y'all. Somebody say drop them.
Drop
them. Well, not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Anybody know what that means? Mm-hmm. Go raise your hand.
It means what's going on in your mind doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. Say it loud.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's uselessness. Everything that you brought down there to that well in them water pipes. It's wasteful. It's uselessness. I didn't say this. I know it offends you. It offended me because we like to think we were doing something. Come on, right?
Yes.
This stuff's alarming. This stuff is shocking. This stuff is radical. You thought you were doing. Had your hands on your hip, didn't you? Say it louder. Oh, yeah. I was doing something. I thought I was doing something. But God said it's vanity in your mind. God, if you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise. He just loves you. Now, I know somebody will walk on the road and go in there and say, well, what did I do with my water pots? I hope you go over and kick them and bust them up. But he's not finished helping us, amen.
Amen.
Let's read a little bit more. You see, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, before you get mad at me, I want you to know that the Bible didn't call you, amen, or those people who won't come to the well and get the living water. You know, those people who take their water pots back with them. But what he's saying is that because of, what does it say? That's one thing I learned to read carefully. He says, because of the blindness. You're this way because of the blindness. You don't even know what's happening to you. That's why you have to say, Jesus, save me. He didn't call you. Amen. I'm not calling you. Amen. We're not calling our friends. Amen. But we are saying to them that you don't even realize that you're being blinded in your heart. Just think if Jesus would have gone to a woman and said, you are ignorant. That conversation would have been over pretty quick, right? She would have picked up whole water pot and been working on number 7. Come on, God. I never got that call in. But the Bible helps us understand what it is that we're looking at, what we're talking to, and where he brought us from. It ought to make you happy. It ought to make you jump up and down because you saw the light. He dropped the scales off of your eyes. You're no longer blind. But you see, you decided to follow Jesus, and you put the water pots down. You didn't take them back. You understand what you're looking at. Their understanding isn't able to understand the word coming out of you. You understand the word coming out of the woman? The answer is no, they do not. No. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the very thing that's trying to save their life. And he's not giving up on them. He didn't give up on you. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for not giving up on me. I know I'm glad about it. He had every reason to. I don't understand it. Devil kept trying to kill me. I don't have wings. I can't fly. There I was flying off a building. I don't know why he saved the rest like me. But then I look into your face. And for the rest of my life, I'll be grateful that he counted me worthy to put me into the ministry. To speak a word to you, to encourage you today, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, I want to give you a couple points here and y'all bring this. The thing that happened at the well with this woman, the changed life that she began to learn of Christ at the well, amen. You can read about that over in Philippians 4:20-21. She learned of Christ, amen. Study this. Learn of Christ so that you can share Christ with other people. Stop arguing with them, please. You can't fix them. They are darkened. They don't understand. They might see your mouth moving, but that gospel has a way of as well. Learn how to present that thing that God has given us today. Amen. So he also says here now, and then the second point I want to show you is that the changed life begins when you begin to hear about Jesus Christ. You got to give me no faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you go home, you can also add John 8:43 with that. You got to begin to hear the word of God. He caught her around the well all by herself and started putting the word on her. He didn't talk. He didn't argue with her about when she's talking about, well, you worship over here, over there. The time is coming and put the gospel on it. That you want to worship not here nor there, but you're going to worship in truth. And then you see here over in Philippians 1:6, the changed life begins when you're taught in Jesus Christ. Oh, he taught about some stuff at that well.
Yes,
he did. Philippians 1:6 will show you that you need to be taught. Or you might come back with Buddha. Wada. Yeah. Or whatever. Believing in rats, incarnations, and capital coming back. You need to be taught through the word of God. Number four is your changed life begins when you know that you ran to the truth. Come on, somebody. You're not crazy. All of a sudden that light goes off, and you know you heard the truth. People can even talk to you and say, that ain't the truth. You say, yes, it is. Why? You know the truth. I just believe it. He communicated you from darkness to truth and to light, and you know now that these are not just words. Come on, somebody. You know this is living water in this book. And all of a sudden everybody will say, that's just the Bible. That's the word of God. That's quite a radical change. Amen.
Amen.
That's quite a difference from when you started out talking about, where's my Bible? You see my Bible? I'm in awe when I read these verses about this woman. I'm going to challenge all of you. I'm in awe when I hear and read the story about the woman. You know why? Somebody say why?
Why?
Bitch asked. She dropped her water pot and she went to Bible study. She dropped her water pot and she went to evangelism school. She dropped her water pot and got her divinity in and going to tell people about Jesus. She got her water out of the well and she went and had a little prayer meeting.
No.
Come on, somebody. Is that what the word said?
No.
The reason why we can't have the explosion that God wants us to have. One, we won't drop the water pot. And then we think we gotta need more power than what he's already given us. No, you do not. Come on, somebody. God, we found out that this woman didn't understand. She wasn't even quite even sure who he was yet. Come on, somebody. Do I need to show you again? She wasn't even, this is the Messiah, isn't it? Back over in John 4, is that what she said?
Yeah.
She didn't go to school. She didn't repeat no Apostles' Creed. No sinner's prayer. Come on, somebody. We make a church hard now. We're putting the law on people in. And where the Spirit is, the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And she didn't have to go to no evangelical school. She didn't have to get no grief. She didn't have to come by y'all and get in the circle and pray with people. She didn't have to do it. She just dropped her pot and she ran up that hill and told him in.
Yeah.
I met a man.
Oh, yeah.
I met a man. Must be the Messiah, right? We can see that she wasn't even sure. But the Jesus still reached out in there well and tore her head down.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Are you sure? Did you say anything in prayer? Did you do it 3 times? Do it again. Jesus. I'm sick of the games.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it's hurting our families. It's hurting our children. Yeah. It's hurting the men. It's hurting. It's foolishness.
Why?
Just put down the pot and then you're going to pick it back up. I can't go there. I got to go through a 12-week course. I haven't learned the 3 things of salvation. No, she didn't do that. Do you see this? Read the story when you go home. Because you know what time you pot. You don't have to keep saying, well, if I learn a little bit more, if I pray a little bit more, you just talk to tell them, come on, somebody. You told me whatever I'd already ever done. Come and see. You don't have to tell them that you know the whole Bible. Come and All I know that he told me. All I know is I'll never be the same. All I know, glory to his name. He's blessed me. I see it. I see that thing that was ugly in me. But now I'm seeing his glory. I'm so glad he put the pressure on me.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
All I know.
Amen.
All I know. All I know, no, I didn't go to Dallas Theological. Oh, I know! I didn't go to Howard. Oh, I know! That he touched me. All I know is that he changed me. Will you come and see? Give them a hand.